I hope you understand as you come together the power of God and the way He has been working in our midst. I hope you see that on a regular basis, and I hope that you never get tired of it or apathetic towards it, that you see it and you just want to be a part of what He is doing. I know I am. I cannot say how thankful I am. I can't say it enough. Everybody that walks through the doors of Harmony Baptist Church is a blessing to my soul. And I cry out with Paul from Romans 1:8 and so many of his letters to the church, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And you are a blessing to my soul. It's an encouragement to know that God is working in you, that you want to come and worship our God, our Savior. It's a blessing to see how your love for Jesus builds up others, like we've seen in Grace today. How you as parents and children's workers and youth workers and Sunday school teachers and all these different facets of ministry work together to build up the church. Not the building, not our numbers, the people. That they move from death to life in Christ and then from spiritual infant to spiritual parent to go out and disciple on their own. That is a beautiful thing, and it doesn't happen everywhere. I pray we never take it for granted. And it's an encouragement to see this, because it's really hard to be a disciple of Jesus today. It's always been hard. It's hard to read this word and live by the commands of King Jesus in the broken world that we live in. It's hard. Impossible without the Spirit of God indwelling us. I praise God so many times that I was not born in the last 20 years because of the difficulties that the interconnectedness of technology has brought into our lives. It would be terrifying to grow up during this time. It's terrifying to raise people that are growing up during this time. The young and old alike are just inundated by culture, right? We carry it around with us all the time and pull it out and look at it. We can't escape it. And all of the world is pulling us to want to be culturally relevant, to be accepted, to be a part of the next movement online or the next movement that's happening, even in the midst of the church. And the ease of being who the culture wants you to be is made easy through the digital world. You can say, promote, or be whatever or whoever you want online. And for many of us, that just oozes over into our daily lives. We see the response to the cool us or the accepted us through social media or some other channel. We see how people flock to that and we say, I want to get that result as I walk through my daily life. I want people to look at me and say how awesome I am and agree with everything that I say. So we'll compromise on who we are. We'll compromise on what we believe because it allows us to feel better about ourselves and accepted by the people and the world around us. And compromise, when you hear that word here, it means that we accept or lower our standards to get what we want. Here's the reality. Every compromise with the world leads us farther away from the God who loves us. Every time we make a compromise with evil, it leads us farther away from God. And I get it. I wanted nothing more in my life than to fit in as a teenager. I moved in with my dad at 17 and said, I'm going to make any compromise necessary to be accepted by the people around me. I will drink and smoke and cuss, whatever I got to do to be accepted, I'm going to do that. And all that compromising of what I was raised to believe, all that compromising of the lifetime of being poured into in the church, it worked. When I turned away from all of that, I found people that were willing to accept me. And the worst part of all that fitting in was I began to hate the rules and what I was raised to believe. I just saw it as a hindrance to my life. You've just given all these things to keep us from being who we want to be. I've compromised it all, and here I am getting what I thought I wanted. And in 2001, sitting in a church service that some of those friends that I had compromised with, I was given new life by the gospel of Jesus Christ. My eyes were open to the sinfulness of my lifestyle that fit in. And my heart was open to the grace-filled, enemy-loving sacrifice of Jesus at the cross. And then and that night, as I went back home and in my room, as I opened the Bible, as I read God's word for myself, I called out for repentance and for salvation. And I began to see that I could no longer live a compromised life. In this new life in Christ, I was called to walk in uncompromising faith. And I began to understand that Jesus had given me everything that I needed to walk that way. He's given you what you need, brothers and sisters. If you are saved by Jesus, He's given you what you need to walk in uncompromising faith. That you will not bend to the world, but you will stand boldly on the Word of God and live for Him no matter what, no matter what it costs. Because He's greater than any cost. I would venture to say that some of you have walked that same path or are walking that same path. You've compromised with the world in order to feel better about yourself or to fit in with the world. I want you to know I get it. I've been there. It's a constant pull for most people to just be accepted. But being accepted by the world puts you at odds with your Creator. James 4:4 puts it this way. As you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. I pray that that terrifies you here today. That you would never be okay with being considered an enemy of God. It should scare us because we are so quick to want to make friends with this sinful world. We're so quick to want to compromise on what God's word says just to belong in this world. Just to get ahead in this world. We're so quick to make friends with a world that will turn on us in a second and leave us for dead. A world that will laugh to see us fall into the destruction of hell. A world that doesn't really care for you. A world controlled by our enemy, Satan, who is always manipulating. But brothers and sisters, there's a better way. There's a better way. There is a hope and a future through a better friend called Jesus. His friendship is what you were created for. You were made to love and worship Him forever. And when you come to know Him as this friend that died on a cross for your sins, that was willing to take your punishment on Himself, that was willing to rise from the dead, to conquer all that stood between us and God, when you see Him as that friend, you belong with Him forever. And there is nothing that can take you away. He is your friend forever. Friend unlike any other. You've never met a person that would do what He did for you. And when you know Him, even with the nonstop call of culture on us through faith in Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can and should live with uncompromising faith in a compromised world. To show us what this uncompromising faith looks like, I want you to turn with me to Nehemiah 6, 1 through 14 in our Bibles this morning, if you have your Bible or the Bible app, and I hope you do. If you don't, feel free to take a pew Bible in front of you or read on the screen behind me. As we read this passage, we'll see two things that Nehemiah is uncompromising on. Two things that every Christian should be uncompromising on. God's mission and God's word. And we'll see how Nehemiah relies on God for the strength to stand uncompromisingly. Now, we're only going to get through God's mission today with the commissioning. I cut this in half, and so you can be thankful that you can get to lunch a little bit earlier. If you'll turn there with me now, Nehemiah 6, 1 through 14. Now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although up to that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hekaphirim in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? And they sent to me four times in this manner, and I answered them in the same manner. In the same way, Sanballat, for the fifth time, sent a servant to me with an open letter in his hand. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem also says it, that you and the Jews intend to rebel. That is why you were building the wall, and according to these reports, you wish to become their king. And you have also set up prophets to proclaim concerning you in Jerusalem, there is a king in Judah. And now the king will hear of these reports, so now come and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you say has been done, for you are inventing them out of your own mind. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Now when I went into the house of Semaiah, the son of Delaliah, the son of Mehethabel, who was confined to his home, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple. Let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. They are coming to kill you by night. But I said, should such a man as I run away? And what man such as I could go into the temple and live? I will not go in. And I understood and saw that God had not sent him, but he had pronounced the prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this purpose he was hired, that I should be afraid and act in this way in sin, and so they could give me a bad name in order to taunt me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, according to these things that they did, and also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who wanted to make me afraid. Let us pray. Holy God, you are our strength and our shield. And Father, I pray for those that have gathered here today that fear would not rule their lives. That as the enemy attacks around us, as we see the world grow ever more bitter towards our faith, that we would not allow fear of this world to guide us away from the mission that you've called us to. I pray that the brothers and sisters gathered here today would be strengthened, that they would always look to you, God, for their strength. Because we know where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I pray, Father, that we will rejoice in that and that we will live in that truth. Not okay with simply getting by, not okay with simply knowing that people around us are dying and going to hell, but that we would live for you without fear and on mission with you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. As I read this passage, I just thought, man, Nehemiah cannot catch a break. This guy has served the Lord so faithfully. He gave up his position in the king's court to go and rebuild these walls. He rallied all these people together to make this big construction project happened, and at every step of the way, enemies had arisen. His enemies had stood up and tried to stop him. They had threatened him. They had told him they were coming to kill him. They had said they had found gaps in the gates and they were going to come through, and he kept building. The wall kept growing and growing, and Nehemiah stuck with it, and then he found enemies within inside the people of Jerusalem as the rich Jews were taking advantage of the poor Jews. They were taking their children as slaves. They were holding their lands hostage for the money that they could never repay. And he fixed that problem. And then the walls are pretty much done. All I got to do is hang the doors and the gates, and his enemies come again. I'll tell you, this just spits in the face of the prosperity gospel. Like, if you're supposed to just have faith and everything's going to work out, they didn't tell Nehemiah that. At every turn, he faced adversity, but he continued to do it because he knew that this mission that God had placed him on to rebuild these walls was about God's glory. He was willing to risk it all. He lived under constant threat of death as he built these walls. And the enemy never gave up. Here we see them change tactics, right? So they had mocked and threatened before, and here they start to act friendly. Come have a meeting with us. You know, take a break from all this work. You've been working hard. Take a break. Come down to this plane. Oh, no, we'll just hang out. Be a part of it. See, Nehemiah, through his discernment, knew that these people were not merely being friendly, that they were looking to get him to a place where they could eliminate him and retake their power in Jerusalem. And while they had different names, Nehemiah's enemy is the same as ours in the church today. Behind Sanballat and Tobiah was Satan, this evil force that desires to see nothing more than God's name sullied. See, Satan is always moving to disrupt God's people from anything that will bring glory to God. And his tactics are many. Sometimes he comes as a devouring lion, roaring and wrathful. Other times he comes as a cunning serpent, whispering and moving the pieces of his evil plan with tiny lies that seep in and distort slowly until his victims don't even notice that they are so wrapped up in evil that the life's being choked out of them. And this friendly, cunning Satan is in action in much of the church today. Satan has twisted the mind of many in the church to believe that friendship with the world is okay. You know, that we can be a Christian, but we cuss a little. You know, we even got t-shirts made up saying that. Satan has whispered that because of grace, you can make a life out of sinful partying, watching all sorts of pornographic evil on your screens, gossiping all you want, having sex with whoever you want, eating gluttonously, supporting abortion, overlooking the orphan and widow. You can do all of that, and Jesus is just going to love you anyway. He's whispered these falsehoods into their ears of so many in the church that they live in complete opposition to anything that this word says and still call themselves a Christian. That's not grace. Jesus will indeed forgive you. He will save you out of those behaviors, and he will forgive you if you are repentant as you fall into those sins from time to time. But Jesus' grace is also about giving you the ability to overcome those temptations so that they don't become who you are. They don't define you as a person. His grace is more than just a way out of hell. His grace is a way to live so that the world can see that Jesus makes a difference. It's why Paul wrote what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. And Paul knew that God's grace had freed him from a life of persecuting Christians, of being a murderer of Christians, to being willing to be murdered as a Christian. That's what the grace of God does. It completely transforms all that we are. It doesn't give us permission to live however we want. I pray that you get that. Because that same grace is what he gives to you today. It's the same strength that you have to overcome sin in your life. You can be sure that the Spirit of God will never lead God's people into the destruction of sin. When a voice calls you to sin, no matter how friendly it sounds, you can always know that it is a trap of Satan seeking to destroy you. Nehemiah knew this. He knew his enemies intended to harm him, and he also knew that he still had work to do. He couldn't be compromising with an enemy while there were still doors to be hung in the gates. I'm sure he was tired. How many of y'all are tired today? Pace of life, emotional issues, relationship issues, work issues. Everybody's just tired, right? Nehemiah was tired. He's tired of fighting against all these men that wanted to see him fail, tired of long days of wall building and long nights of standing guard, tired of ruling as governor, probably just tired of being tired. But his exhaustion would not be an excuse for compromising on the mission of God. Nehemiah wasn't building these walls for his glory. He wasn't building them to make a name for himself. He knew that these walls represented the glory of God and the protection of God's people. So four times, his enemy sends messengers and invite him to take a break to meet with them. And every time, Nehemiah says, ain't nobody got time for that. Four times, he says, I cannot stop this work. He doesn't say, ain't nobody got time for that specifically, but he says, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? He knew this mission was more important. And he would not compromise his work for anything. See, this work was greater than his welfare. Brothers and sisters, God has given us a work. He's given the church a work. And this work is more important than your welfare. He's called us to be a light to the world. He's called us to make disciples of all nations, to be his witnesses, to seek and save the lost, to share the gospel of Jesus with a lost and dying world, to help the community around Harmony Baptist see and savor our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the mission that is before us. And we cannot compromise on this mission for the sake of anything, even our very lives. Brothers and sisters, the blood of the martyrs, of the tens of thousands that have died for their faith, cry out from the ground saying, do not compromise on this mission. They've been beheaded and burned alive. They've been crucified so that this could keep going forward. Let us never stop in this mission in the comfort that we have here in America. Let us keep moving forward. Let us keep raising up disciples and sending them out, no matter how painful it may be. Nehemiah was uncompromising on God's mission, even when his life was on the line. And it was, they sent a fifth letter, and this was an open letter, meaning that as this messenger carried it, he read it, anything he read in there, he went and showed it to everybody else. It's like a public Facebook post. And through it all is saying, hey, we hear that y'all are going to rebel against Persia, that you're going to set yourself up as a new king. You even hired prophets to say there's a new king in Judah. All because they knew that if the Persian king heard this, that they were going to come and they would destroy the walls, Nehemiah, everything. Because the Persian king only kept control over his empire by being unwillingly savage to anybody that tried to rebel against him. So his life was in doubt. But Nehemiah did not waver. He did not compromise. Even in this, he knew his character. See, they were saying, you're setting yourself up to be a king. But he knew his character. He knew that he would not do that. See, people can sully your reputation. They can say all kinds of things about you. But you know who you are and you know whose you are. Right? Nehemiah did. And that led him to say, what you're saying is not true. He says, no such things as you have said have been done, for you were inventing them out of your own mind. He wouldn't stop even if it cost him his life. He said, the king might come down. I got to get these walls built. God didn't tell me I was going to survive the building. He just told me to go build it. Right? God hadn't said that you're going to survive this life. You won't. Death is coming for all of us. He's just called you to take as many to heaven with you as you can while you're here. That's what we're to be about. He was uncompromising on God's mission. And we must be too. The mission must saturate every area of our lives. But for so long, the church has pulled back from areas of our life. We've said, listen, I'll follow Jesus when I go to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, any Bible study I go to, all the areas around my life, I'll do it, but I can't take it to work. They'll fire me. I can't post it publicly. I can't tell my neighbors about it because they might get mad at me. I can't live this in every area of my life because if I do, something bad might happen. And we look at our world, at the moral decay in our world around us right now. Something bad has happened. But it's because we have stood on the sidelines and said, I can't speak there, or somebody might get angry. We worry about losing our jobs or alienating our coworkers. I'm not saying you got to be belligerent or share Jesus in a way that interferes with doing your job. But I guarantee you, if every professing believer was obedient to the Spirit's prompting to share the gospel in their workplace, then they couldn't afford to fire us all. Right? They wouldn't have a workplace if they got rid of every Christian that was willing to do this. And do we think that if we lose our jobs, that God is not going to provide what we need? He's promised that He'll do that. I will meet every need. He feeds the birds of the air, right? He clothes the flowers. He'll give us what we need. All we got to do is be obedient. And the fear of losing a job or making a coworker mad, all these things that society feeds into us of being looked at as a bigot and hated, it's all just the work of Satan. It's a way to stop the mission from going forward because it scares us into submission. That's what Nehemiah says in verse 6:9. For they all wanted to frighten us, thinking their hands will drop from the work and it will not be done. Brothers and sisters, we cannot allow the enemy to scare us into compromising on what God has called us to do. There are eternal lives and the glory of God hanging in the balance. We must never compromise on this mission due to fear. When fear raises its head, we must cry out with Nehemiah at the end of verse 9. But now, O God, strengthen my hands. Give me what I need to keep moving forward. When that person is condemning you for stepping out to share the gospel at work, repeat this prayer. O God, strengthen me. When they call you into the boss's office and say, did you really share the gospel with somebody? You said, yeah, you want to hear it too. Strengthen me, God. And they ridicule you in public. Stand boldly and say, oh God, strengthen me, and then share it some more. The only way we will beat back the darkness of this world is if brothers and sisters in Christ will take this and burn with passion and fire for Jesus that saturates every part of their life. When fear rises up to keep you from speaking the truth about abortion or some other truth of God, cry out in that moment, oh God, strengthen me. He'll hear your prayer. And you'll be able to cry out with the psalmist of Psalm 138:3. In that day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. So strengthened brothers and sisters make a difference in this world. Because with that strength, they can live uncompromising lives. They overcome fear. They live as people worthy of the calling to which they've been called. Brothers and sisters, are you passionate enough about God's mission to live it out? We can't just benefit from it. We have to live it. Will you pursue this uncompromising life for the glory of God? He saved you and He gave you His Spirit so that you could live this way. Everything you need to live in uncompromising faith is right before you today. But is there something that you've compromised on that's hindering that work? Is there a sin in your life that you're holding on to, that you've compromised with the world and allowed it to be there? As we have our time of response, I pray that you would seek God's face in prayer about how you need to repent and how you need to live in this uncompromising faith. Ask Him to show you if there's some place you've been holding back. Ask Him to strengthen you to be bold there. Pray for those where you live, work, play, and learn, those closest spheres of influence in your life. Pray for the people there and ask God to give you the strength to go to them and share with them so that they can hear and believe. If you don't do it, who will? Pray that you won't let threats or fear keep you from an uncompromising pursuit of God's mission in the world. I'll pray that for you, and I hope you'll pray it for me. Let us pray. Holy Father, thank you for the witness of these men that have come before us, for Nehemiah and his uncompromising faith. I pray as these brothers and sisters have gathered here today that they too would one day be talked about. that they were men and women of passionate, bold fire that stood in the darkness of this world and said, I will not stop pursuing this mission. I thank you for those I know that are living that way now. I pray for those that don't, that in this moment they will see the beauty of Jesus, that they would understand that this is not just something to come sit and listen to. This isn't just something you call yourself a Christian. It's something that is a part of your very identity, that new life that you have means that every fiber of your body is now in Christ. And that they will live that your spirit will give them the power to go out and share this message boldly. That you would give them words when they can't think of the words to say. That you would move in them and create a great awakening in our community and across this state and across this nation. That more and more will call on the name of Jesus and be saved. It'll only happen when the hearts of those that believe are willing to boldly go uncompromising with the world. I pray for that one that's here today, Father, as Ben said earlier, that's unwilling to make that public profession. I pray that your spirit is moving them today, that they see their great need for Jesus, that they understand that hell awaits those that don't have him, but that more than that, that their life can be full and abundant here and now and forever through Jesus Christ, that they will admit that they are sinners, that they will believe that Christ is the Son of God, that he rose on the third day, and that they will cry out in repentance saying, I want Jesus to be my king now and forever. Pray that you would move their hearts, that they would come forward and profess that. Father, I pray that all of us would rejoice to be in your house and to be a part of the body of Christ, that we would feel so privileged to be a part of this mission. It's in Jesus' name I pray.